welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How is everybody doing today? Hope today is a good day, a decent day, a shitty day that's about to get better. It's a day. However you slice it, here we are. I'm doing pretty well, you know, handling life stresses up and down. I will say that in terms of handling life stresses, one thing that's on my mind this morning is like, if you are really overwrought, if you have just stuff piling up and you feel like you cannot handle it, I beg of you, slow down, breathe, and do one thing. Because I have been on a roller coaster of up and down with my emotions around all the things I need to do in my life to prepare for what is to come. And every time I'm losing it, I have my fit. I kick. I journal speak. I might have a good cry, whatever I need. And then I just say, fuck it. And I do one thing. And then I find myself where I'm, you know, delivering myself to you this morning. We're like, I'm okay. Because I'm doing each thing. You know, you do one thing, you check it off. You do another thing. And life is a behavior modification program. And you will never think your way into better feelings. You must act your way. You must do something. Move a muscle, change a thought. And so whatever that muscle might be, for me, it would be recording a podcast, you know, finishing some paperwork, dealing with something for the kids that needs to be dealt with, you know, check, check, check. And it doesn't mean I can't feel the way I feel about it, but I also think it's impossible to feel better without doing. So anyway, little plug for action, the life of doing little actions, plug for that this morning. So not that much in terms of offerings today, just here to tell you that I hear from you guys a lot about, your specific symptoms, what's going on in your lives. I've been telling you guys lately that my membership community is open. If you want to actually spend time with me personally answering your personal questions every month, please go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Scroll down a bit. There's the information about joining my private membership. And if you have further questions about the membership, just email me at njsachs@thecureforchronicpain.com. One of the members of my team or I will get back to you with whatever clarification you need. So there's that. And also there's just tons of resources on my website. There are the courses I offer. You know, if you're doing this work and you need a hand to hold and you want it to be mine, I have a Freedom from Chronic Pain course that takes you literally through the entire thing. So please take advantage of that and Freedom from an Anxious Life and retreat recordings. Just go to my resources tab on my website. You'll find it all. All right. Today we are going to dip briefly into the concept of relationships and the concept of what do we do in our lives when we start changing and the people in our lives would prefer us to be the same as we used to be. And our chronic issues have forced us to the place where we need to reckon with maybe not being people pleasers, not having loose boundaries, not just doing everything that everybody else wants us to do, not giving into our codependency, losing ourselves. You know, these are the things that lead us to have chronic conditions in the first place because of the amount of repressed emotions it requires to live that kind of a life. A lot of this is generated from childhood trauma, from different things, you know, survival mechanisms we used as young people, but you know, we're grown now. And now we have to deal with our mind, body, and our spirit. We have to deal with our health. And so what I'm finding is I'm hearing from a lot of you guys about what to do when you needed to change. You know, in Natalie's case, the speak pipe that we're going to highlight today, she had long COVID and it was a 2-year battle to get out of long COVID. So pretty much the whole pandemic. And Natalie said she's well now. She's doing great. But the people in her life, especially around work, they don't like the new Natalie. They want what, and she didn't give me many details. You'll hear the speak pipe. She didn't give me many details about what she was and what she needed to change, but I can read between the lines and I can see that, you know, sometimes you have to do what you need to do to save your own life. I always say here, my tagline is the life you save is your own. You know, the pain is not in your head, but the solution is not in your body. And when you do the work, you're doing the work to save your own life, something that no one else could do for you. Not a pill, not a doctor, not a surgery, not a procedure. You are saving your own life here, and it's freaking glorious. And sometimes it requires you making some changes about yourself. And, you know, I want to also say, it is not necessary to change yourself or your life in order to be out of chronic pain. Dr. Sarno always said on the panel when we spoke together at NYU, people would raise their hand and they'd say, but Dr. Sarno, I can't quit my job. I can't leave my family. I can't be different in certain essential ways. And he would say, don't worry about it. The whole point of TMS is that the fact that you're repressing these emotions is what is sending your nervous system into fight or flight, which is causing the inflammation, muscle constriction, different reasons that we have chronic illness. You do not have to change your life. You just have to bring those feelings from the unconscious to the conscious realm, allowing your nervous system and brain to realize there's nothing to fight against, and then the symptoms fade away. And this is true. This is the capital T truth. I have seen it over and over and over again. You watch it and listen to it every week on this podcast. Having said that, sometimes after you do the work, what you are is a different person in the best possible way. You know who you are. You know what you feel. You know what you think. And sometimes you're just showing up differently. And that doesn't have to be so cataclysmic in terms of the shift. It's just you're a different person. You are more confident, maybe. You have better boundaries. You can say no. You understand that no is a full sentence. You know, this is shit that goes on. And I don't know specifically what's happening in Natalie's life, but something like that is happening. And the people around her don't like it. And she has a question, which is how to deal with that. So let's just hop on to Natalie's speak pipe and let's talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. This is Natalie. I wanted to share an ascending and kind of staying still story. Thank you so much for all your sharings of the stories. It's very, very helpful. I came out with your method of journal speak of a very, very long COVID episode. It almost lasted 2 years. Now I'm out of it completely for almost half a year, and I keep journaling. But I have to say, what is really a problem for me is that I struggle with a lot of things, especially a lot of relationships, because I changed, and not all people appreciate that. I changed, I can feel better what I really feel and where my boundaries are, and especially in work, there are persons who really don't like my new self. Could you please share how to deal with this new situation in relationships? Thank you so much.
Okay, so as I said, here's where Natalie sits. How do we handle the fact that other people might not like the new Natalie or the new you? So I have a lot of thoughts on this. So let's go into my brain and play around for a moment, okay? The first thing I want to say about this is transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. So what is here? What is you were sick. In Natalie's case, she had long COVID, and it sounds like it was pretty debilitating. She found this work. She did this work. Now she is well. Fabulous. Amazing. Nothing is more important than that. There's no functioning that happens when you're on your back with whatever illness has put you on your back, proverbially or actually. So there we are. And what is that she feels differently and she's acting differently. So transformation, which is what we're all seeking, whether it be relationship transformation or physical transformation, begins with the radical acceptance of what is. And what is here is that this is what happened. And this is where we are. And so I think the first thing in terms of handling other people and the stresses that they bring is to say, okay, well, here I am. I'm not fighting. I'm not going to sit around and spend all my energy being like, I wish this were different. Because if we spend all our time in I wish this were different, we waste a ton of energy. As Byron Katie says, which I quote all the time, we can argue with reality, but we only lose 100% of the time. So here we are. And I would, if I were you, Natalie, do an exercise, do a journal speak exercise I like to call journal speak for radical acceptance. So the first thing I do before I even try to do anything is I would sit down and I would write on the top of the page, this is what my life looks like. This is what happened. This is what changed, and this is where I am now. And just tell the story like a court reporter. Because if transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is, we need to know what is. We need to really look at it black and white on the page and know what is so we can decide to accept it and feel that deep feeling of satisfaction and peace that comes with, I see. Oh, I see. This is the way it is. I was sick and I changed and now people don't like it. And wow, here we are. Okay. And it's a really powerful energy. So essentially you start like a court reporter. You tell the story of what happened. And when you're done, you sit and look at it, including, by the way, how it is today and how everybody is displeased with you or whatever. And you sit with it and you go, hi, see. Well, that looks like what happened. And then you say, okay. I'm just going to say that's okay. That's I accept it, you know? And acceptance does not mean agreement. Saying that's okay doesn't mean it's okay with you. It's just what is. So start there. It's a powerful exercise. And you can do that, by the way, with anything in your life that you feel like you're struggling to accept. And then once you're there, you say to yourself, okay, well, what can I do? What can I do? I have to work with these people. I have to live with these people. I have to interact with these people. What can I do to feel more connected when I really have changed, you know, that is what happened. So the first thing that comes to mind is underneath and behind every behavior is a need. Let's say that again. Underneath every behavior is a need. So if people are acting differently around you, there is a subtext of their emotional world that can be uncovered if we are quiet enough and if we are clear enough to take a look at it. So let's say you're at the workplace and John is really, really upset with you because you used to do everything he asked. You used to, you know, edit a paper if he wanted it edited, or be at a meeting when he couldn't be there and represent him, or be on time and fake it for him because he's late all the time. Whatever. I'm literally making this up. But now you won't. Now you have boundaries. Now you say, John, I'm really sorry. That's not my responsibility. You know, with respect, you'll have to do that yourself. Or, hey, listen, if you can't be on time, I'm happy to go, but I'm not interested in making excuses for you. It's uncomfortable and it's really not my role, you know, or whatever, right? You're doing that. You're showing up for yourself. Now, John is irritated because you used to be very convenient and you're not anymore. And so the first thing I would do is I would take John's maybe obnoxiousness or reactiveness that you're dealing with and look at the need underneath his behavior. John doesn't feel good about himself. John feels out of control. John feels like he can't meet his responsibilities. And oh my God, now you're not doing it for him. John is scared. He's worried. He's overwhelmed. Maybe he's sad. Maybe he's whatever he is. I mean, that's also not your responsibility. But the reason I'm bringing it up is that you can look to answer the need rather than the behavior. So what I do with people like that is I might say in a non-defensive moment, John, it looks like you are really struggling with overwhelm. I'm so happy to brainstorm with you ways in which that could be easier for you to handle. Or maybe it wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have to feel like you couldn't be late. Or John, I see that you can't show up to the meetings on time. And I wonder if you want some, you know, partnership or guidance on what makes you late. Do you want to talk about it? Do you need strategies? I don't know if I have them, but whatever it is, you look for the need underneath the behavior, and you try to speak to that, whatever that might mean for you, Natalie. And another thing is in terms of handling other people is knowing that you matter. You know, oftentimes I find that with TMSers, we have forgotten that our needs are as important as the other person's needs in the relationship or in the partnership. And so sometimes it's just about knowing that. Like, you deserve your boundaries and your feelings and your needs met as much as the other person. So if they're annoyed with you, you have to be like, lovingly, we speak with love always because it doesn't really fucking help not to. I totally see that you're upset because I used to do this and now I don't. And I really, honestly, I feel you and I hear you, but I also know I really matter here. I do, you know, and I didn't always let you know that. So I apologize for that because I am a co-conspirator in my own misery. And I'm sorry that I haven't shown up for myself, but now I actually know that I need to. And so I'm sorry that that's hard for you. And this is also what I need to do for myself. Owning our power is a huge shift for some people who have not lived that way, but it's so key. And then like doing what you need to do to self-soothe around that, because that can make us feel guilty. It can make us feel like bad people, can make us feel selfish, but you are not selfish. You are just a person who wasn't clear about your needs and the space you take up, and now you are. And so, you know, as Maya Angelou said, when we know better, we do better. And now you know better. And so doing better sometimes it doesn't feel great to do better for yourself because other people don't like it. And, you know, so that is what it is. You know, I'm just riffing here because a lot of things come up when I think about these things. It's like, I'm moving to California this summer and my daughter is 15 and she's moving with me. My oldest two will be in college. My youngest is coming with me. And it's a big change to move from the place you've lived your entire life since you're two, the friends that you've had since preschool that have been with you every year of your life, and now you're 15, to a couldn't be a more different situation. From a small town to a big city, you know, different coast, whatever. And one of the things we do together that I feel is really healthy for us both is we talk about the whole situation. We look at the whole thing together. And I said to her, you know, I know you're excited. I also know you're scared. And I also know there will be tears and there will be days where it just feels like everything is so hard. And what I want to say to you and to me and to us is we're going to both feel these things. And this move is what's next for us. Whether the day is hard or easy, this move is what's next for us. I need to be in LA for my work and for my personal life. She needs to be in LA because she has truly outgrown this place. We both know it. And when you just know that something is what's next for you, you just accept and invite all the emotions that come with it. On the hard days, you say, wow, this is a hard day in what's next for me. On the good days, you say, wow, this is a celebration of what's next for me. But Natalie, what's next for you is where you are at. What's next for you is not to be debilitated with long COVID. What's next for you is to show up as you show up. What's next for you is that people aren't going to like it. And wow, each day is what is in that. And each day is of equal importance. The hard things are important. We are living through the hard things. I'm going to make a couple of recommendations for everybody out there. One is to read or listen to the book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, such a powerful companion to this work that I do. And another is to listen to the podcast, Glennon Doyle's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, the episode with Andrea Gibson. You can look it up. I don't know the number. And they are battling cancer. And they are amazing at just saying what I'm saying here, but in poetry, which is sometimes things are hard. And that is what that day is. So these are my messages for you today. And I hope that they landed, because we can't control other people. We can't control their reactions to us, but we can certainly control our actions and what we do, the next right considered thing that we do, whether it be get into action, like I said at the top of the pod, or listen to something that inspires you, or read something, or practice radical acceptance, whatever it is. You got this. You got this, and you can do it. All right. I send you big love and connection. I hope today has gotten a little better for you if it wasn't good, and I hope that you're celebrating everything if it was. And until next week, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. Tons of love. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.